Hey everybody, how's it going? You're listening to Reptiles with Yoshi,
Alex,
and Marco.
Alrighty, if you're listening and want to watch, you can check us out on YouTube at HSR Exotics, and if you're watching and want to listen, you can check us out on whatever streaming platform you like. So Marco, how you doing today?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Been building shit. And building more shit.
Hell yeah.
That doesn't sound very fun. Building shit.
Yeah. In the bathroom all the time.
Oh, man. Fuck. Alex, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. If you see our faces and we keep on looking down, it's because we're using a new form of video and we're checking our phones to make sure the video looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too many blinking lights. I have no idea where I'm looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Because last time my fucking phone cut out. So that sucked because we used to record on our phones, and now we're trying to not do that because we don't want to make that mistake again.
Like we said last time, we're getting big now, so you know, we have to make sure we have the high quality stuff
for 10 views.
Yeah, for the 10 to 15 views we got, we got you. Oh man. But all right, so I think today we're really gonna talk again about tortugas.
Yes.
All right,
so I will be quiet the whole time again.
Well, I brought something here that you know about, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Is it a penis?
Yes,
that too.
Oh yeah, we're good.
It has one of those.
It does have one of those. But if you want to fill in everybody with your current situation of why we're here to talk about things and stuff.
All right, so before I even get started on everything else, let me just make something clear. I said something in the last podcast that was inaccurate. I have no idea why I said it, but for some reason, I said the original TMNT came out in 1979. What the? I don't know why. When the first comic book, like the graphic ass comic book, came out in 1984, and then the actual cartoon, that was originally a miniseries, came out in 1987. So where I came up with 1979, I have no idea. I think I was just a little.
Did
nervous.
You really say that I exact had, date?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I was like in 1979 with the original. I was like, what? When I watched it, I was like, what the fuck is this dude talking about? And I was being like that fucking troll on myself. Like,
I had no idea he was coming in here hot.
For real,
dude. Bothered. He's like,
oh. He's like, bro, I fucking said that one thing one time and I don't like it.
Oh, but here's the funniest thing.
All those 10 people are going to be so mad. God damn it.
After I watched the last podcast on YouTube, I went to the comment section expecting to see any comment. I was the first comment correcting myself.
Oh man.
But that was pretty funny. For the most part, I've been for the pictures you guys saw in the last podcast that we posted, all the stuff I had outside, I had to move everybody inside because my association are a bunch of dickholes. If you live in an association, move.
Move.
You know, like,
do it.
My mother's been having some issues with coming to terms with maybe moving because we've been in that house for over 30 years. So she's kind of like, I guess, attached to the house, old people things. I should know
so
about
you
that.
Too.
But the truth is we're kind of comfortable. The only issue is the association. They're being dickholes. So I had to kind of like revamp my ideas and put things together in a different way. But the solution I came up with is actually really cool. We're going to definitely put some pictures up and
hell yeah,
some videos. If you want to take a look at them before the podcast's over, you can go to Mr. O 101 Customs on Instagram.
Yo, tag. Look at him go. Look at him go.
I didn't think I would be doing that. I'm using that youngin' lingo. But yeah, so you can check that out. Like, there's some pictures up there, some stuff. Like, I show some of my tools, some of the things. I haven't done like a live feed or like a little
what
story.
What tools are you showing?
The good cane.
I'm just saying.
The meaty cane. But yeah, no, like, you can see like some of the stuff I work with. I use a lot of scrap wood and repurposed wood from my enclosures from the outside so I can build the new enclosures. And it looks really good. I did it in layers. I add it so that if I have to take it apart or move, it's easier because each section it's independent, so like it works on its own. It's only just kind of like jigs, like Tetris-y, like on top of each other, you know, just kind of fitting there like a little jigsaw puzzle, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes, you got to make them touch.
Perfectly.
And touch. And touch.
So I've been checking on my animals. They've been there for about a month already, like fully set up, and I've been seeing like some holes in like their nesting boxes.
Tight.
So they've been doing some test nests. So it means that their transition hasn't affected them so badly. So they're starting to feel comfortable. They're used to their new enclosures. So yeah, it's pretty good. So I'm excited. Hopefully this year I might get some eggs and get some babies.
What happened, bro? What are you laughing about, man?
You saw me when I looked up quick.
Yeah.
I know he said test nets.
You know what?
Yeah, I know. When you came back up and he said test nets, I was like, he's thinking of something stupid.
I thought he said test nuts. I was like, what?
It's like the doctor, you got a cough.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm crying.
All right. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously I've seen the enclosures and they look good, man. And the best thing is that you're handy enough that you can do what you can with, you know, with what you got.
Yeah. I've been building a bunch of crap. And then I'm the type of person that, like, if I have a decent sized piece of like scrap wood,
I bet
I keep it. I keep it in the trunk. I'm kidding. I keep it in the shed.
What is wrong with us today? Of course, on Valentine's Day is the day that we keep on making these.
It's because of the hormones, you know, the Valentine's. Yeah.
Valentine's Day, we're here with each other and not with anybody else.
After our show.
After our show.
That is our fault. We interrupted you.
Yeah.
Wait, all right. One more finger.
Why you gotta take out the pinky? What you trying to say, dog?
It's not that big.
All right.
Like I was saying, I like to keep scrap wood and then it just piles up and piles up, but I don't want to throw it out because I'm like, I'm going to use this. And then lo and behold, this shit happens and I used almost all my scrap wood. Like it's almost all gone. Hell I probably used like 3/4 of it. And I had to get creative, which was awesome because I like thinking about creative like solutions to issues I have. And like building these new structures and then they look really good. You would think that I went out and bought more supplies, but it's all scrap wood. And then if you turn it around, you look at the backside because I'm like, I'm not going to paint the backside because nobody's going to see it.
Yeah.
Normally I do, but I'm like, fuck this. I'm on like a time crunch because the association is going to start fining us if I don't get these animals out from the front.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. So it kind of sucked that I had to move them out from the front, but also the benefits, the way I look at it is I have to look at the upside. The upside is feeding time is a fucking super easy thing now. I just go down, feed everybody really quickly, and then, you know, make sure that their water levels are, you know, at where I need them to be. And maintenance has been a cinch because I don't have a fucking like 30-40 gallon tub that I have to rinse out and pressurize to clean as a biologic filter when I'm using the same canister filters now that I showed in the last one. We'll definitely put up a picture of how I set them up. And now on every once a month at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month is usually when I do a massive like clean out. I do, you know, some water change, like, you know, I do a 20% water change and I clean out all the filters. So when I do that now, what used to take me 3-4 hours takes me like essentially like an hour and a half at the most. Dope. And clean the filters is like 15 minutes, which is crazy because I would spend half of the like 3 hours was cleaning out the filters on the big biological filters. Even though I would like to do that again because it kept my water crystal clear and super awesome. But inside, again, you know, like what can I do? Like, you know, but my animals are pretty happy. They're adjusting. I've had to buy some feeder fish to start eating some mosquito larvae because since I moved my animals from the outside to the inside, obviously they bring in, you know, what they've been eating.
Yeah.
So
it is.
Some mosquito issues inside the house, but now that I got the feeder fish, they're definitely going to be eating their larva, and that issue is going to be so they're going to eat the larva, and that's going to be like taken care of. So
it's good because I mean, then the turtles every once in a while have a little snack.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually have to build a hide for one of, because the one where I have my terrapins and my map turtles, they fucking cleaned out the fish.
Yeah. So you gotta make hides for the fish.
So yeah, like the other ones, I have hides because it's built into the structure. Like their ramp, I used a 4-inch wide PVC and drilled some holes into it. And I used that to hold the bottom of the ramp and then connected the top of the ramp with a hinge onto the basking like platform. So that way I can lift it up if I have to clean it.
Yeah.
So they actually have a hide in that. So like those fish are like thriving and whatever, but the ones in my terrapin, they're gone.
Psych.
So yeah. I'm going to have to like redo that. And, you know, it's not a big deal. Like, yeah. It's another little project. So
that's what I want to do when I move my turtles to the bigger tank. I want to put guppies in there with a little bit of hiding spot and stuff. So they can have a snack. They can breathe. They can do everything they do.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like having isopods.
No, because when I had put like 10 of them in a tank, and like there was like 3 of them that the turtles just didn't eat for like a long while. Mm-hmm. And like on top of the filter, the fish, like I'd feed them and they'd eat off the turtle food too. But the fish would eat the poop and make it like cleaner. I was like, okay.
They eat the poo-poo. Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm sniffling so much. My allergies are a pain in the ass today. Yeah.
He's allergic to you, bro.
Yeah, I'm allergic to. I don't like you and your turtles.
He's allergic to my penis.
Oh? But yeah, I mean, so you got everything going over there, and they look happy, and, you know, people put a lot of pressure on themselves of giving, like, adequate space to their animals. And, of course, you're going to want to give them as much space as possible. But in the end of the day, you also have to work with what you got. And obviously, you don't want to give them the minimal effort, you know, whatever. Obviously, you had them in very big enclosures, and now... Exactly. Until you move on to your next phase, this is just temporary for them.
Absolutely. It's temporary. And like, I'm looking maybe minimum of 2 years, hopefully, you know, in these enclosures. But my tortoises are, they're thriving. They're really happy in their enclosures. The recessed lighting I put in worked a cinch there because I had put some actual lighting fixtures in there and they're really low after I filled with dirt and soil. Like, my fear was that they were going to like touch the bulbs and get burned. So I had to get creative. And luckily, since I use the round tubs for the ponds that are above it, like there's one where they meet, there's like little triangle shape area that was perfect. So I was able to cut a hole there and put some recessed lighting, recessed fixtures. And then, so now like the light is in there and it's warm. Like it's keeping good humidity. It's keeping warm, even though like on the sides, there's like, just mesh, but I made sure that only the doors have mesh. Everything else is closed off, and so that way it can keep in more heat and more humidity.
So I have a question, talking about keeping turtles, a lot of turtles, indoors. How hot is the house now compared to before?
Surprisingly, it's not.
Really?
I thought it would be, like, it would make a difference, but surprisingly, it's not. But it could also be that we have a really good AC unit as well.
Do you think it's working harder?
I don't think so because it's been, like I said, it's been there for a month. We looked at the AC bill. We looked at the electricity unit when it came in at the end of last month, and it wasn't, I would say maybe it was like $10 higher. That's about it.
Okay.
So it's not working as hard. I think it's going to work a lot harder. It's going to go up when summer comes along because everything else is going to be, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
like I haven't had any issues. The other thing I did was instead of doing a switch like the old one had for the lighting, I actually put it on a timer. I went and got one of those outdoor timers with a little that has like a lid on it for Christmas lights. And I use that for all the lighting. And at 6:30 in the morning, it turns on its own. 6:30 at night, it turns off on its own.
Perfect.
So it's perfect. And then if I have a leak or something, it's closed off. So no water can get in it. Yeah. You know, there's no risk. It lowers the risk. There's always a risk.
Have you considered thermostats on just the heat lights?
No, because like I said, since there a lot of them are open, so they're going to need the constant heat.
Okay.
The side of the tortoise enclosures are open enough that it allows...
Yeah, my phone just started losing battery.
It allows enough like airflow, but it also keeps the heat in. And yeah, like every time I walk by, my tortoises are basking, you know, under the heat lamps. I have the two, like the ones closer to the inside walls, they're the heat lamps, and the two closer to like the actual screen doors, they're the UVB.
Okay.
So that way, like, it's not like letting the heat out super fast.
Okay.
So,
and then with obviously you have gallons and gallons of water.
Yeah.
Are you worried at all about humidity and like the walls and stuff like that?
No, because everything close to like the actual housing, like the walls in the house is closed off.
Tight.
Like there's no exposure to that.
Okay.
So it's staying inside the enclosure.
Perfect.
So that's not bothering me. I've been checking the walls. There's no like bubbling. There's no nothing like that. So it's been good.
How many gallons do you think you have?
Okay, so I have two 110s, so that's already 210.
Yeah.
Plus an 80 gallon.
No, 220, bro.
Wait.
220. So plus an 80 gallon, so that's already 300.
Yeah.
Then I have I think they're 30 gallons, so that's another 60.
So 360.
So 360. So about 360 gallons in just that one enclosure.
Hell yeah.
I guess plus the, like, I guess for the tortoises, I've made them like a little pond so that way they can soak with a filter and everything, a biological filter, canister filter. So that maybe holds like about 10 gallons. And then I put some rock under it so that way, like, they don't, like, if they flip over, they won't drown. So that way, like, they can soak like the half of their body and they could soak in. It's the cutest thing. I actually have a picture of one of them with their eyes closed, just enjoying themselves in that water.
Yeah.
So I will definitely put that up. So that's about, like, you know, 370 gallons, I guess, right now.
Yeah.
In just that one big enclosure.
Now, how big is it?
It is, I think when I measured it, it's about 8 feet by 3 feet. That's just the bottom enclosure.
Yeah.
8 feet by 3 feet. And then when you measure all the way to the ceiling, regular ceiling in a typical house is about 8 feet, and it's about a foot off. So it's about 7 feet up.
There you go. So you got to work with what you got. And that's like the best thing that you did, is that you decided, okay, well, you needed to move all your animals in because of the association.
Yep. And
then,
dick holes.
Yeah, the dick holes. And then we go ahead and you said, I know I have this much space that I can keep them in. How can I do it? Mm-hmm. And people worry of like, oh, how am I going to fit all this in the little bit of space? But you were like, I'm going up, bro.
Yeah.
I'm building a turtle skyscraper.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly. You know, like I said in the last podcast, you know, like my favorite thing that I've been saying is, you know, if you can't dig down, build up. And this is literally building up.
Marco. Yeah. 1905.
1905.
On my wagon. That's just pretty much like, you guys got to figure out what you can do with your space. Like I said in the last podcast, if you don't have space, you know, maybe it's time to look around, get rid of some stuff. You can sell it, and, you know, maybe that'll be some funding for whatever enclosure you want to build or do whatever. So I ended up using a lot of the materials I had for the ponds outside. It was depressing taking it apart, but it was cool to see these new structures that I was building and, you know, improving. And with the vast knowledge I've gained in the last 6 years since I built the ones outside,
yeah,
like the improvements. And I keep looking at, when you look at the one in the far left, like the pond on the far left, that is like the first one I built. You see a bunch of screw holes. You see like everything you don't do in woodwork. You look at the one all the way in the far left, the far right, and that one is literally a mirror image of that one, but yet I use pocket holes. I use a bunch of techniques that I did not know how to do when I first built the other one, and it's like, it's beautiful. Like, it's beautiful. Most people don't notice like the screw holes because they're so like enamored with the animals.
Yeah.
So I don't say anything, but, you know, like when I look at it, I'm like, okay, this is what I used to do and this is how I do it now. And I'm like,
holy, you notice the difference.
Yeah, like it's like night and day for me, but nobody else really notices because they're so focused on the animals.
Yeah. And it's good that you obviously you made the space that you could. And so I had the reason why I bring it up is that I had somebody send me a message this week. Mm-hmm. They were asking me, they found a red belly cooter, mm-hmm, like a baby, because it's, you know, babies are hatching right now. And they were like, oh, I don't know if like a bird dropped it off or whatever. And I told them, like, if you live near a canal, mom probably came up and like laid eggs near your house. And then the baby made its way. They're like, oh, I don't know if, like, what do I need to do to keep it or whatever? So I had to explain to them. I'm like, so this is like a basic setup with like a 10-gallon tank. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend that you keep it, but that's up to your discretion, you know? Yeah. But just, you know, so you have the information, mm-hmm, this is what you have to do. But these turtles get very big. You know, so you're talking about something that you can't just release once it gets to the size. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about something that's going to need an 100-something gallon tank or a pond, mm-hmm, in the future. So you got to think, are you going to have a big tank or like a fixture in your home?
Yeah.
Or are you going to build something outside? And they were like, well, you're right. So then, you know, I was like, yeah, because her worry was releasing it and then it getting preyed on.
Yeah.
It's
part of nature.
You know, it's the life cycle.
Exactly. I said... there you go.
And we are sued.
And that's pretty much what I told her. I was like, well, I mean, like, it's what whatever's going to happen to that animal is what it was supposed to happen to that animal as far as, like, nature goes. So, like, I respect the forethought, you know, like, oh, I don't want something bad to happen. But it is what it is. You got to do what you got to do.
Like, she found it in her yard?
Yep.
Oh, so, you know, if she wouldn't have found it in her yard, it probably would have been picked off by a bird, a raccoon.
Yep.
A cat.
So the most you can do at that point is just take it to the pond. Take it to the pond and put it somewhere where there's, like, enough shelter for it that it can try to,
like, enough,
to
you know,
grub,
like,
off the little things here
and there. Aquatic plants where they can hide, like, sufficiently.
Yeah. And I think that does it more justice in the end of the day anyways.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the life expectancy of a hatchling is really, really low in the wild.
That's why they have so many babies.
Exactly. That's why they have so many. You know, they have hundreds of babies in 1 year.
Yeah.
And they produce every 2 weeks. You know, like, they lay pretty much every 2 weeks for the season. Okay. So, yeah. So, I think that's cool. You know, if whether she kept it or not, I hope that information helped her, even if she didn't keep it and decided to get a pet turtle further down the line.
Yeah.
You know, it's information that I think a lot of people should need. It's also information I would like to give to my students' parents, because last week was one of my students' birthdays, and this little person was so excited because of confidentiality. I can't say names or gender, but this little person was so happy about getting a hamster. And then for show and tell on Friday, this little person came in and brought a picture. And when I saw the enclosure, I was like, holy crap, no. Like, I wanted to be like, no, but, you know,
yeah, what do they know?
This person is five. Like, yeah. Damn it. This little person.
I'll try to beep it. Don't worry about it.
So this little person was so excited and enamored with the hamster. And I was dying inside because pretty much a hamster needs a crap ton of space to run. A 10-gallon tank is not a crap ton of space. It's going to stress it out. It's inhumane, pretty much. Because what they do is hamsters don't stay put. They don't nest. They don't go out, forage, and then come back to their nest. They keep moving. They're like redfoot tortoises. That they don't stay in one place.
Yeah.
They just keep moving.
That's why, like, they saw those, like, enclosures.
Yeah,
like,
with
the extra stuff, so you could, like, attach it to other.
Oh, but even
things.
Then, that's dangerous because hamsters aren't very much like big climbers. Because they see something high, they just jump off. If they're on something high, if you put a hamster on the table, it's gonna just jump off. Which is crazy.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So if you want to do levels, like, I recommend getting something extremely big.
I think he was saying, like, the tubes.
Yeah, tubes are even bad for them too.
Yeah.
Depending on it, because they can get trapped in it. Even though they can contort their bodies, they can get trapped. Some tubes are way too small.
No, that yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's insane. And then if they get stuck in a spot, they usually hamsters go one way and then they decide out of nowhere, I'm gonna go back the other way I came from. So when they try to, you know, contort, they get stuck. So it's really, like, there's a lot of great videos on YouTube you can check out to get that information. But I think, like, the average square feet, if I'm not mistaken, is like 180 square inch per hamster.
Yeah.
So that's, like, almost about the size of, like, half this table. And this is a pretty big table.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I was just dying inside, and I was thinking, you know, because unfortunately this year, because COVID and everything, when the school year started, I wasn't able to have open house, but I think I would like to incorporate a little bit of, like, you know, knowledge in open house. Like, hey, if you guys are thinking of getting pets for your animals, come talk to me.
Pets for your animals?
Pets for your animals.
Is that what we're calling kids now?
Yeah.
So
if you're getting pets or animals for your kids, come talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, so I can give you a little bit of information. If I don't have the information, I'll look it up and I'll give you the best information you can.
Yeah.
Because proper pet husbandry is a great thing to teach your kids, because that's something they can pass on to their children in the future.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, will keep going, and it's something that won't get lost.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have the wrong husband.
You're an idiot.
Divorce.
Divorce.
Really quick.
The hand sanity?
Yeah. I've been touching my face.
Touching his face. We brought out the hand sanitizer for this one because Marco comes. When Marco comes, we all need clean hands.
How much battery
starts does talking to us about salmonella. But anywho, so yeah, I mean, as far as the kids go and stuff like that, it's very important to teach them. And it's like, I get really frustrated with people that get frustrated too quick when people are trying to learn. Yeah. Like, it's one thing, like, yeah, if you're being completely neglectful towards the animal and what it needs, but it's another thing where it's just like, just most people just don't know.
Yeah,
they just don't know.
It's just ignorance, and it's also what they've been taught as kids. Growing up in the 90s, the basic care for a hamster was just go in, you buy the tank, again, the stock tank, you grab all the fucking crap that you get there, and, you know, the shitty wheel. You're supposed to get a wheel that's like 2 times its size, because when they run, their backs like curve, and that's really bad for them, and that hurts them. The same with rats and mice. Like, you're supposed to, literally, for a Siberian hamster,
Siberia.
Yeah, so like the big fat hamsters, you're supposed to get a rabbit wheel for those.
Oh yeah,
so that way they can run straight. If you get them the smaller wheels their back curves and they start getting back problems. They start, you know. Also, people get like the mesh wheels. Their toes get easily caught in that. There's also like a bar that's held with like a little hole that's held on the side. They get stuck in that too, and that's usually like fatal because they decide they're going to run through that area as it's moving, and then they get trapped between the bar that's holding that and then the structure that's holding the actual wheel, and then bam, there you go.
Yeah.
Close to decapitation. And nearly headless Nick.
To what you were saying, it's true, because people get frustrated because you ask questions and stuff like that. It's like, but all of us started somewhere. That's what I don't understand. Dude. Like, people ask us what some other people would consider dumb questions, and it's like, just answer it to the best of your ability and let them know, because maybe they want to have one of these animals, they don't quite have it yet, and they just want to learn stuff. Like, what's the big deal? Now, if somebody's like, "Ooh, I got this snake and I stuck it in the refrigerator because there's a lot of space," okay, then something dumb like that. But
so,
like,
on that one, I had somebody...
Don't tell me somebody put it in the refrigerator.
No, man.
Oh, I don't know, man.
No, but look, I had somebody call me for work the other day. They wanted to buy a boa. I don't know. I had a feeling about the guy. And he's like, yeah, I'm looking for a blah, blah, blah boa. I have $200 to spend and I want to buy an adult full grown. And I told him, I'm like, well, the baby that you found on the listing is that price because of, you know, that's what kind of babies start for with that specific genetic that you're looking for. But the thing is you want an adult, you know, like I had to explain to him, why have you had a boa before? Because obviously they get large. He's like, yeah, I had two. And I was like, did you have them for babies? Were you able to raise them? He's like, yeah, no, I got them as adults. And then the female died because it escaped from the tank and went outside and got run over. And then I didn't really like the male because he was mean, so I let him go in a pipe.
No, Jesus.
And then I told him, I literally, right after he said that, I said, I don't think this is the animal for you. Mm-hmm. If you want something that you're going to be able to, you know, properly care for, maybe you need something smaller. I recommend maybe a sand boa if you want to stay with a boa or a ball python. But I don't think this animal's for you. And he said, oh, but no, but like, I'm not going to do that again or whatever, whatever. And he's like, you know, but the boa is fine because I let it go in a pipe, so it has all the food. And I'm like, well, you see, the problem is that where you live, when it drops below 30, you know, the boa is going to die. Mm-hmm. And by any miracle that it doesn't die, it's going to eat some of the natural population. Mm-hmm. And then if somebody finds it, like your game and patrol or whatever, like your fish and wildlife, you know, then all of a sudden you're going to have legislation on you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, why? You know, like, just because you couldn't care for the animal. And then he was so adamant about buying the animal. Yeah. And I told him, I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable selling ridiculous. This animal to you.
I have an aggressive red ear male, and I'm actually going to build him a new enclosure because he's the only one that doesn't have an enclosure. I can't keep him with any of my other tanks because he's going to bite every single other turtle I have.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, he bites their neck so bad that they get, like, really bad scabs, and it's just horrific. So he has to be alone, so... Next weekend, I'm going to be recording a video of myself building him an enclosure using a little plastic that's usually meant for like cement mixing that you get for like $6 at Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever home store is near you. and a bunch of my scrap wood. So like that's going to be like a pretty cool video to watch, and it just shows like what you can do. And I'm not going to be doing something so elaborate that nobody else can replicate it.
Yeah.
So it's something that's simple that everybody can replicate, and it gives you a little bit of knowledge like, okay, this is what I can do for a temporary home for my animals. And it's perfect for hatchlings too.
Yeah.
When you buy a little turtle,
if you don't want to do the tank.
Exactly. If you don't want to do a tank.
And yeah. at that, I think it might not look as nice, but I do think they're better. The problem with tanks is that they're see-through.
Yeah.
So the turtles are going to keep trying to swim, and they're going to hurt themselves. And with the cement mixing tubs, they're black. They can't see.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? And what's cool is that the way I build them is that you can see through the front through a mesh screen, and then you can see through the top, through the opening.
Yeah.
And then you can have your light fixture on top.
Yeah. I mean, by the time that this podcast is out, that'll be there. So yeah. You definitely
so
go check
you can
out
check
thing.
It out. Also be uploading pictures on my Instagram.
Tag it again.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Mr. O101 Customs.
There we go.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow us at HSR_exotics and on Facebook as Half Shell Ranch. If you're listening and want to watch, you can check us out on YouTube as HSR Exotics. If you're watching and want to listen, make sure to check the description to see what streaming platforms we're on. This was Reptiles With, a podcast by HSR Exotics.